You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
Hello.
I'm Hugh Fort.
I'm Paul Mann.
And I'm Tom Canning, and welcome to episode 120 of the Real Reading Podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod and search Real Reading Podcast Group to join us on Facebook. It's another fine lockdown week, or another fine week in lockdown, depending on which way you read the sentence that I've written on the script. How are you both doing? Paul Mann, you're joining us this week. Rachel's been subbed off. Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm okay, not doing too bad. As I look out the window right now, it is a blue sky. It's not too bad. I'll take this weather. Yeah.
I've just noticed, Paul, just behind you on the right, obviously we've spoken on these calls semi-regularly. You've got a picture of the Moomins. What's that all about?
Oh yeah, that'd be the girlfriend, not me. I'd like to put that out there as a disclaimer. I don't want to own that. But yeah, they're very popular from... Yes, the well-known Finnish author, Tove Johansson. But yeah, I think that's not mine.
Oh, okay. Fine. I presume on your Elm Park Royals podcasts, you paper over that with a picture of Alf.
I actually remove it normally.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I mean Alf as in Adam Lafondre.
Adam Lafondre, yes.
So Alf, I thought you meant the alien life form.
No. You, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right, yeah. Everything's the same every day, isn't it? But apart from that, I'm not so bad. Slightly starting to notice the days getting a little bit longer now.
Just ever so slightly.
And that's going to carry on until the clocks change, and then everything will be okay.
Everything. You sound like... Go on, Hugh, sorry.
The hair situation's getting pretty serious now. It's pretty... It's pretty boofy. And my girlfriend is now, she's like, I just want to see it where it goes. And I keep saying, it's just going to go upwards. And she's like, oh, I don't think we should cut it. So I'm almost being blackmailed.
Oh. Well, I've decreed that I'm not cutting my hair until we move. Listeners possibly won't know this, and they possibly won't care either, but I am moving house. I won't tell you just where just yet, because I don't want to jinx anything. But we are on the move, and I've decided not to cut my hair until we move. So hopefully that will be very, very fast.
Hopefully that'll be a long, long time, and you end up...
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Nick Hucknall.
Oh, don't. Just before we kind of move on to our headlines, there's a story on Berkshire Live this week. I don't know. I think I have sent all of these to you guys, but it's about a Reading man who drove past National Lottery HQ hundreds of times and finally picks up a big prize. This headline absolutely fascinates me, because does that mean that if you drive past the National Lottery HQ,
I wrote that headline. I knew some smart Alec would point out the non-correlation between winning the lottery and driving past, but it's just a way of leading into the story.
Is there a correlation, or is it just...
No. Well, no, he used to say every single time he drove past to his son,
yeah,
one day I'll be in there getting my check. And then
the irony of
the story is that because of coronavirus, when he did eventually win his £1 million, he couldn't go in to get the check. So.
Right. Makes more sense. So this is what happens when you don't read the actual story.
Yes.
So this is a story of a chap called Malcolm Haynes, who lives in Reading, but is somehow a season ticket holder at Watford.
I know.
How can you live in Reading and support Watford? That's outrageous. That's absolutely
morally wrong. It's so many levels.
Yeah. I mean, that says to me the PR department of Reading FC are not doing their job.
I remember many years ago when I used to go to football regularly, a game against Watford, where there was a Watford fan sitting in the East Stand with the home fans. And my understanding of this situation is, if you find yourself in your situation, you're supposed to very much keep yourself to yourself and be respectful of the other fans. This bloke, Watford, scored a goal and he stood up and he went, "Yeah!" and started running around and jumping up and down and goading all the home fans, and then probably got kicked out. And I'm not saying it was Mr. Haynes, but you can't rule it out, can you?
No. So he's won £1 million, and I guess he's won it on the lucky dip. And I guess the obvious question, and Paul, we spoke about this very briefly yesterday, but obviously, if you won £1 million, you'd invest it straight into the Royals, wouldn't you, I presume?
No, I wouldn't want to just take my money and burn it, Tom. And you know that.
Exactly. Swallowed up and never seen again, yeah.
No, definitely not, sadly. No, God, I'd probably do something really dull with it, wouldn't you? For £1 million, it's a good amount of money.
Yeah.
Buy a house, wouldn't you, in that leftover?
I'd probably just keep it and just have it. I don't think
just say you're a millionaire constantly to BB and me.
I've just got it. Well, I'll get £1 million.
I was saying to my partner about this, £1 million is a kind of perfect amount of money to win, because there's no, you know, there's no pressure. You'll be sorted for life. You can probably pay off your mortgage and then have a lot of disposable income and some lovely holidays. Do you remember them? Yeah. And and basically live the life that you want. And it's not like winning the Euro Millions, which is something, you know, 180 million, and then thinking, what on earth am I going to use this money for? But it's £1 million, life changing, better life, and entirely realistic. So that's what I like to win, rather than the big money.
Yes.
Although, I think, you know, if someone gave me £11 million, I wouldn't complain. But
I was going to say, Hugh, would you say no, that's a bit too much?
I'd just give it all to charity, you know.
Oh, yeah. Go on, yeah.
Have you seen, have both of you seen The Detectorists? Hugh, have you seen The Detectorists?
No, but it sounds like the sort of program you'd watch.
It's Mackenzie Crook and Toby Jones. It's absolutely wonderful. I thoroughly recommend you sit down and watch it. I won't spoil it for either of you. I think I probably could say it's been out long enough now that people who want to see it should have seen it. But there's a lovely moment where one of them reveals a certain thing about the lottery, and anybody that's seen it will be nodding along. It's a lovely night. It's a lovely TV series to just sort of on a Sunday afternoon just sit down and watch the first series. Then it's only about 6 episodes of series. It's 3 series and they're about 25 minutes long. It's just wonderful. It's funny. It's great. Anyway, there wasn't really a question related to this story or what I've just said. It was just, that headline had amused me, and it had amused me all week. And I'm glad that it was Hugh that wrote it. So in the meantime, if you've won the lottery, let us know. Here's Jeremy with how you can get in touch.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @RealReadingPod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks very much, Jeremy. We move straight into our headlines. We try and do 5 minutes each on one of these. I've got a little timer so we don't spend hours talking about, which, you know, sometimes can happen. But, you know, there we go. The first story is this. I think it's incredible that this can even happen, but it's this massive Reading Broad Street Mall homes plan that will add more than 400 new homes to Brutalist Shopping Centre. I guess the Brutalist is the architecture part of it, but I guess what I find absolutely fascinating is the house that we are supposedly moving to. If we wanted to build above the garage, we've basically got to knock the garage down because the foundations are not strong enough to have a structure built on top of it. Yet a car park that was built probably more than 30 years ago can have 3 massive tower blocks built on top of it. It just seems absolutely astonishing. Paul?
It just seems such a crazy plan, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. I know we need housing, so you look at that and you think, well, okay, that's a good thing, isn't it, for people to live in? But I don't know. it's not a place that I'd be gagging to move to. I have to be honest, living above the Butt Centre, as it is known, I'll never regret it. Or stream out. Never. It's never been that. I don't know. It doesn't seem to like... It's just gone through a lot of planning things as well, surely, Hugh, to get to this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember when the plans first emerged a few years ago, I looked at them and I was like, what? On top of the shopping centre? How's that possibly going to work? And then, yeah, it's going to be an amazing visual for the town. Yeah, I mean, it's another one of these places, I think, that where they think people wouldn't, you know, who work in London or maybe work in Reading, single or couples, no cars, that sort of place. I imagine they'll be quite swanky when they eventually get built. But it's an amazing idea to have. And we'll have to see now how it goes and how it progresses. There's a lot of work going on at the Broad Street Mall. There's a bowling alley coming and cinema and some new restaurants on the way. And then eventually, perhaps one day, they'll get the revamp of the area behind it as well. And it could be quite nice in 10 years.
I mean, in some ways, it makes an awful lot of sense to build these big tower blocks in the town centre because the transport links are there. You know, if you want buses, the problem that I think most of us have with buses is if we want to go anywhere that isn't the town centre, you've got to go in the town centre and then out again the other side if you want to jump on the bus. Similar sort of thing with the trains. So I guess building these huge tower blocks in the town centre is probably actually a really smart idea, and I'm sure that's not lost on the professional paid for planners of Reading Town Centre and that stuff like that. It doesn't need a moron like me to come up with ideas like that. But like you say, Paul, I'm not sure of whether I would actually want to live in the town centre. I mean, you're effectively living next to or just above almost party central. Is that what you want?
Maybe not at our age, Tom, but there's a lot of people that are considerably younger than us and would want somewhere like that to live. And yeah, I think they're seldom. I don't think it's going to be an issue, is it? Yeah. I mean, at least it's not offices.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, you've got to see offices are going to be needed less and less. Not going to suddenly drop off completely, but there's going to be a drop off after this COVID situation ends, won't there?
They're almost certainly. Well, I think the part of me that always wonders about this is who are they building these for? Because are they building it for people that actually need houses or homes, or is it building it for people that are looking for second homes? And I just, you know, they need the, I don't know, Hugh, do you know what the situation with that is?
It's for people who, it's what a lot of the developments around places like Reading and Slough are these, what they call London leavers, who are working in London potentially and living in London, but finding the cost of living in London too much. And so they move to the commuter belt to a nice swanky apartment where they live with their partner or by themselves.
Yeah.
And commute into work or work from home. I'm not saying every single person who buys one of these flats will be that, but that's the kind of market a lot of these developments are aiming for. Like I say, I've said many occasions, there is this problem in Reading with the lack of family homes because there's no space. So they still have government targets and they still have to provide housing. And so they build up rather than out, and people complain about all these flats and what they're going to be, how they're going to make the town look like. But like I said before, the areas where they're making all these massive developments are all pretty run down and derelict. And so do you just want empty buildings crumbling away, or do you want the areas regenerated with housing and built, you know, and they retail and coffee shops and nurseries and all that sort of stuff within these developments. And that's what's happening in Reading. you know, I'm sure if the council announced that the only land to build family homes on was at Prospect Park and they were going to build a 1,000 home estate on Prospect Park, people wouldn't like that either.
Nope. Not,
just for a disclaimer, that's not happening. That's just something I just made up. that's the kind of situation with development in Reading, but this is a very kind of innovative, bold, ambitious project, and we'll have to see how it unfolds.
Just to finish off that little bit, Hugh, how many, if those three get built, there's the three, is it Swan Heights? There's three there going up. How many new residential tower blocks will that be? I mean, that's at least six, as and when all of those get finished. There's some others, isn't there?
So there's Verto, which is already there.
Right.
In terms of sort of towers, there's the development in Welldale Street, which is very slightly out of town, which is 300. I can't remember how many blocks it is, but it's 300 odd flats. Thames Quarter by opposite the train station is very much underway. I'm not quite sure when it's going to complete, but that's that there. There's another development plan for the old Southern Electric building, which is across the road from there. And there's two really massive plans with tower, with blocks of flats as well. One is the Reading Royal Mail depot, and then right next to it, eventually the, I always get the name of this wrong and have to check it, Reading Station Retail Park. I think I've got that wrong again. Anyway, it's where TGI Fridays is. And that's eventually will be redeveloped, potentially redeveloped as well, into more housing, more blocks of flats. So that whole area has, I'll say potentially, because it all needs to be given permission, will look completely different in 10 years' time. Use that figure generously, 10 years' time. And that's a sort of main development hub in Reading around there. There's the one where Toys R Us used to be, which is well underway as well. That's huge. That's 750, and cool. There's flats and stuff there. But there are a few houses there as well, I think. And I happen to be preparing a feature on this for the weekend, so I'm pretty good on it. But I think those are the main ones. And Reading Prison is something to keep an eye on as well, development-wise. Yeah. I don't necessarily think that'll end up as housing, but... there's a lot going on and a lot of change, but like I say, a lot of sort of derelict areas are getting regenerated into housing areas, which I personally think is a good thing.
Just quickly moving on from that, this is a story about Oxford Road Doves on Reading West Bridge are set to be painted over. Now, I'll be honest, I thought it was clouds. On that Reading West Bridge, is the one that goes across the Oxford Road from Reading West Station. It's got like a light blue kind of background with some sort of white splodges on it. And every time I go under there, I think, oh, it's clouds. I'd never realised it was doves. This is a brand new on me. And this is all to do with the redevelopment of Reading West Station, which people are, I think, slightly happier about this design, but still very angry there are no lifts or disabled access. Quite completely understandable, but at the same time, obviously, I mean, it's a hole, that station, isn't it? I mean, I use it all the time, or I certainly did use it all the time, and I don't know if I don't know how I feel about using it late at night. It certainly didn't. It never made me feel particularly safe. So anything they can kind of do to improve that. But Paul, is that it, Reading West Station? Are you familiar with Reading West Station?
Yeah, I've definitely used Reading West Station, but not for a long time. Is that it's not an illustrious area, is it? It's not an area it's that you wish to be hanging out in. You've got all the fast food outlets near it as well. And God, I'm so old, I can remember the old Texas DIY shop that's very near there.
I mean, painting over artwork, it always does. It does rile people a little bit. I mean, like I say, to be perfectly honest, I couldn't care less. I didn't even know. I don't know whether it's something that I can't even remember who they were by. They were when were they painted?
Banksy, is it?
No, that'd have is self-destructed by now, I would have thought, if it was Banksy.
His early works. You know, suddenly his Redenborough Council found out it's actually worth £5 million. It's like, oh no, hang on.
But it was they were designed by local school children, so apologies to all of the school children I've just insulted by not knowing that they were doves and thinking they were clouds. It doesn't actually say when they were originally painted on there, but certainly in all the time I've lived in Reading, so for at least a decade. You know, do we mind? Is it iconic? I don't know. Do we mind, Hugh?
I don't care. I'm happy to see the station develop. That bridge is a bit grotty. Disappointed that it's got no disabled access in this day and age, and it's disabled people just told to use the main station as if, you know, they can.
Yeah. It's a bit like they sort of, yeah, disabled people use the main station on based on the fact that it's a 2-minute train ride from Reading West to Reading Central. Fine, great, 2 minutes, but it's not a 2-minute walk or a 2-minute wheelchair ride or whatever, or even a 2-minute car drive. It's a good 15-20-30 minutes depending on your ability to get there. However, I suspect if you have to drive across there, it probably takes longer than walking, I would think, given the one-way systems and all of that. I think there's a general feeling there that paint over the doves and make it nicer, but please include some disabled access.
You just contact the children who painted them and ask them individually.
I think maybe. Well, could they not do it again? Could they not repaint it?
Yeah. Yeah, when they're like 40 or 50, like they probably are now.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 10 years ago, wasn't it, you said? Yeah, so maybe they'd be 20 now.
It was at least 10 years ago, so it's probably...
Okay. Yeah, maybe they wouldn't be so keen on. Maybe they'd do something different now, like a pint of beer or something.
I feel like the Oxford Road gets a bit of a bad rap from time to time. I quite like walking down the Oxford Road. It just, you know, it's there's something, there always seems to be something going on there, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, you know, I don't know, but you know,
I was brought up on the Oxford Road. I used to live when I was a child just behind the Pond House. So, yes, fully understand the action and the unique atmosphere around the Oxford Road and the activities then that occur there. But it is a main artery of Reading, isn't it? And it is somewhere that kind of does get constant abuse, doesn't it?
Yeah. Does painting over the doves and changing the station, and upgrading the station, does that gentrify it in any way? Or is it just necessary?
Necessary,
I'd say. It just needs doing. You know, everything needs replacing in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll move on to arguably one of the most controversial stories of the week. And this is the news that the Black Boy Pub in Shinfield is going to be changing its name. So, completely aware that we are three white middle-aged men chatting about something that perhaps we don't have the requisite understanding about. So at the same time, I said, well, middle-aged, am I middle-aged? I think I'm the youngest.
Certainly middle class. perhaps just be middle-aged just yet.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I'm 40 this year, so.
I think
I'm 45, so I think I'm there.
Yeah. I've not been as someone who is very interested in pubs, how they work, going to pubs and enjoying myself in pubs. I've not really known what to think about this because, you know, based on what I would have just said about the three of us, it's difficult for me to actually kind of understand what that name would mean. But this morning I was reading the comments on the Reading Chronicles version of this story, and I think this is what puts it into focus for me more than anything else, and it gives me a bit more. Somebody who will remain nameless said, "That is my old family pub. Don't like it. Don't go in there," which is exactly the opposite of what a pub should be, and exactly the opposite of what a pub should be doing. To, you know, pubs have had a dreadful year. They'd probably thought they'd had bad years before, but this last 12 months has been
an absolute disaster for pubs. So the very last thing they need to be doing is putting anybody off going to the pub. And frankly, if that means changing the name, then get on with it. Stop flipping around with it. Sorry, I wasn't going to say something much worse. Hugh, I know you asked me to include this story in there. You had a few things you wanted to bring up on this.
Yeah. With this story, the pub company sort of saying we don't actually know the history of the pub and of the name, but we feel there is a racist connotation to it.
Yeah.
And the argument from a lot of people is that it could be, and they're saying something to do with a black horse, perhaps originally, or a picture of a chimney sweep, a young chimney sweep, and that's the black boy, and that's what they were essentially. You know, people don't seem to have too many problems about sticking young children up chimneys to clean them in the olden days. But my kind of view on it is that what does it make you think of? Somebody says to you, the black boy. It doesn't make me think of a chimney sweep, does it? It makes you think of, it makes me think of sort of images of slavery, essentially. And I think that's where the company is concerned. We have actually spoken to a member of the black community in Reading, Victor Caroma. He's the general manager of the Reading Alliance for Cohesion and Racial Equality. And what he says, likewise, he doesn't know where the name of this particular pub originated from, but what he says is he thinks it comes from a time where wealthy British landowners kept black slaves, including small boys and girls in their houses. And because of that, it is his belief that the name is offensive and it's right that it should be changed. And the imagery associated with that name is deeply offensive, I think. Also, it's a private business, and if they feel uncomfortable with the name, they're perfectly within their rights to change it. And I mean, it generated a lot of debate about what's racist, what isn't, how everyone says everything is racist these days, and everyone gets angry about people claiming things are racist, which might not be racist or might be racist, depending on your general view on things. But it's ultimately up to them to make the decision. It's their business. If they want to give the pub a more friendly and welcoming name, the chap in the story quoted Victor. He said the name of it made him feel uncomfortable as a black man. That should be that should be given consideration as a very valid point of view.
If it's one man, him feeling like he wouldn't go in there because of the name of the pub, then it won't just be him, will it? Down the line. And, you know, the primary point of a pub is to welcome people in. So, you know, I mean, Paul, I know you've lived in and around Reading for many years, and I'm sure there are pubs that have had 3, 4, 5 name change. Pubs change names all the time. So it's not unusual. You know, I'm just trying to think of some off the top of my head, but you know, there've been plenty of pubs, you know, Sub 89, that building changes its name I don't even know if it's called Sub 89 anymore, changes its name all the time. So I think, let's just be tolerant of people and let's it's been a rubbish year. Let's just, if changing the name makes it a nicer place for people to go, then fine, get on with it. Paul, do you have any strong feelings either way on this?
No, I agree that if you should change it, changing of the name of a pub is not a big issue. Wasn't there the one, the Malt House near Reading Tram Station? That changed, didn't it?
Yes, yeah, the corn stores and the Malt House became the Greyfriar. And
Nobody's made a big deal of that, have they?
No.
Nobody goes, oh, I can't go in there because this used to be the Malt House. Nobody goes, is not bothered by that. You know, you just think, get over it. I mean, this is clearly, I think you need to change the name of this pub because the connotations are there, aren't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, I agree with you. If you think about these things, it doesn't bring up positive positive imagery. You want to go into a pub that doesn't bring up any of those issues, basically. No. You just a standard name like the one I live near, the Moderation.
Yeah.
You know.
I used to go to we used to go to the Black Boy quite a lot. They did really good ribs. I think the biggest surprise to me in this story was finding out it was Green King pub. I don't know when that happened, but I feel like that was a bigger surprise. But I don't know if it makes people feel more comfortable, then just change it and let's get on with our lives. There are things that deserve much more attention in terms of where we should be sort of fighting than worrying about whether we are getting offended about the changing of a pub name. Certainly doesn't bother me. Just change it. And come on, let's face it, down the road, if people still want to call it the Black Boy, they will still call it the Black Boy. I still occasionally catch myself calling Morrison's Safeway. So
just call Broad Street Mall the bus centre.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's correct.
Starburst. I never call Opal Fruits Starburst. They're still Opal Fruits.
You are staying true.
When I regularly go into Metro Bank, I only ever call it Virgin Megastore.
Virgin, yeah.
So doesn't it? People just, yeah, you know, I think it's right if there is a need to change it, if there is a will to change it because it has racist connotations, which clearly it does. Get it changed. Anyway, our last story on the list is a story. This story, and Paul, I'm going to go straight to you on this one because you came up with probably the most valid point of all the points on this story when we were talking about it yesterday. But it's the fact that this iconic Reading Cemetery Junction arch has been put up for sale and potentially for someone to go and make a nice home there. Now, what did you say to me yesterday?
Why would you want to live there? Just got to work this one out. I mean, you're right in the middle of Cemetery Junction. I'm sure there's someone that will want to live there and somebody might need to live there. I understand that you can't always have a choice, but wow, what a location. You are bang in the middle of two main roads there. They're one of the busiest areas of the whole of Reading. And you have got a little bit of height, so you get the full gravitas of it. When you look out it on a Monday morning, you see the traffic jam. I can't feel it. Not my dream location.
You've got that, and you've got all the traffic, all the noise. You know, it's a bit of a late night spot as well. Plus, at the back, you've got a massive cemetery. I don't believe the dead are going to rise up and terrify us all, but at the same time, it's still give a little bit of a come on. So we were due to have someone on from the Junction Arch Heritage and Arts Group to talk. They will now be on next week to talk about their plans because they want to open a kind of an arts and heritage hub with a bar, food hall, and outdoor market and that kind of thing. So they'll be on to talk to us next week. I don't know. I mean, it probably enough. Hugh, you know where the arch is, just to the right of it, as you're going out of town, there's a little hut, isn't there? That's been many things. It's been a little Caribbean restaurant. It's been all sorts of things, and that seems to change all the time. I don't know if you opened it as an office, where do you park? If you open it as a house, where do you park? I mean, like, where's your driveway? I don't know. It's bizarre, but it's only £100,000. So,
yeah, one of the cheapest properties in Reading, if not the cheapest. What one thing that the community group says it's actually worthless because it needs so much spending on it to make it into anything. It's very. I think that's probably one of the price is so low.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, you'd be living in Pollution Central with all that noise. And I mean, how many, I don't know, I'm not an architect. How many houses could you turn it into? Once you get planning permission, how would you get in and out? Where would you leave, like you say, where would you leave your car? Where would, I don't know. I mean, anyone, I'm not a developer, I'm not an architect. It seems extraordinary that anyone would give permission for people to live there, but Who knows?
It does say in the story there's scope for conversion, possibly into two or three residential dwellings.
Yeah. Estate agents often put that on places and then say, you better check with the council first.
Yeah. I've seen enough houses in the last couple of months to know that sometimes places should be two bed, not four bed. So I guess I think that sort of area of town, a centre for something, whether it's a heritage and art centre, whatever it is, that'd be ideal for some sort of community based project, whether that is this current heritage and arts plan or something else entirely. I'm sure it would benefit from some sort of community open space / centre. So that would be good. Paul, so you don't want to live there. What would you do there?
You could turn into an art gallery. You could do it, something like that. Something that's community-based, because if you're going to make this so there's no parking, no nothing, you can't have anything there.
Yeah.
I think maybe something community-range. I'm just trying to think. It's a really hard location to think of anything to have there, because there's so many issues of getting in and out of there, isn't it? I don't know. And I just reading the article, and it says it is basically worth nothing, the actual venue, isn't it? It needs nearly £300,000 worth of renovations. And you think, wow, no, that's a no from me. I won't be putting a bid in. No, it's just no. Definitely out.
That takes it up to the rough house price, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So what's and the point?
For that price, you could get a lovely, fully
decorated detached house.
Yeah,
house that works.
A house that was built as a house. God. Anyway, I don't know whether. Hopefully, we've put that house into negative equity now by talking about it at such length. I know about negative equity now as well. So that is this week's headlines. We'd love to hear back from you if you have any points of view on the different headlines. We will move on into part two and the random question.
The random question.
Hey guys, we're back. It's random question time. The random question this week, I feel like I've been going around in a loop and doing all the same questions again. So I typed into Google random questions, and I've just picked this one out. And it is, what's the best thing you've ever eaten?
That is such a big question, isn't it?
It's a toughie. It is a toughie.
What are you going to say? Yeah.
I was about to tell you my internet connection's wobbling, but I didn't hear any of Tom then, so I don't know.
What's the best thing you've ever eaten?
My mind goes back to a fruit de mer on the coast somewhere in France as a child, which was amazing. As a fairly old child, I would guess, if I was eating that. That's a platter of seafood for anyone who doesn't speak the lingo like I do.
Well, boy.
In Reading, what have I had to eat that's really nice in Reading? I've been to Lauterland many years ago. That was pretty good. Many years ago, I can't actually remember what I ate, but it was good. I remember that. I really like the shed sandwich. That's a bit lowbrow, isn't it?
Lowbrow? God, dear. It's a toasted sandwich.
The big cheese, I mean, is a work of genius, if you ask me. So, I'll try and think of something proper. Paul.
I'd go for something in London Street Brasserie. That was very good. Yeah, I've been there. I've been there for many years. Actually, a place where I was going just before the world all stopped and we all became hermits was at the Lido. Some really nice food there.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very nice. Sat there by the pool. My girlfriend's a member, so we get 10% off. Lovely. Please sign up. I'm not associated with them. But it is very, very nice there. It's not cheap, definitely, but I would recommend it. Yeah. Very nice. Possibly not the best thing I've ever eaten, though, thinking about it.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, I couldn't say that this was definitely the best thing I've ever had, but it's the thing that I'm probably drawn to wanting the most, which is it's a pie in Reading, and it's the Pad Kee Mao, which is which I think you can have either prawns, beef, or chicken, and I tend to have either prawns or chicken, and it's sort of like a slightly spicy noodle dish. And, you know, I can't say it's not the best thing I've ever eaten, but it's the thing that I probably want the most. When I'm thinking about a takeaway, I immediately go, oh, yeah, okay, that'd be. And then I end up having something else completely. So, yeah, maybe I've reworded the question. But, yeah, that I think is where, and I can't even remember where Pyre is now, because we never go there. We just order it on, it's on London Street. There we go. Actually go there. We just order it on one of the many apps, which is
I would always say the Blue Collar Food Street Market on a Wednesday and Friday in town is always a good option, just in case Glenn
is. You are contractually obliged to say that, and we do understand.
the bratwurst there is amazing. And what's the other thing we have? We've had from there, Tom,
the Korean.
The Korean's good, yeah. And the lady who does the...
On a Friday, is it Hog? She does the chips and chili chips.
Yeah, chili chips, yeah. Also good. Fantastic. And the one, there's a Caribbean one, isn't there?
Yeah.
We always go, I like that. And then it's always got a queue, like round the corner. And so it has to be aborted.
We've never
so when life returns to normal, definitely going to consider going there unless the queue's too long.
Well, thank you very much, guys. It's been great to see you. Paul, are you back with us next week?
Yeah, I think so, if you want to be available.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Rachel's just having a little holiday. So it'd be good to see you again next week. If you'd like to get in touch with us, then here is Jeremy with how you can.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. That's quite enough for this week. We'll be back with more next week. Of course, we are always looking for new interviewees, so please do get in touch with us. And if you have a moment, please give us a rating and a review on your podcast app. We'll be back for more Reading-y podcast goodness next week. Bye!
Bye!
Oh, that was almost harmonious.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.